This week on It's So Bad, we're talking about the game that people bought to play another game. It's Zone of the Enders on It's So Bad. And welcome, Matt.
Hey, Mike.
How are you doing this week?
I am ready to talk about some video games.
Excellent. And you can listen to us talk about video games on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, etc. You can subscribe to this podcast. It's called It's So Bad, where we talk about games and we add them to our ever-expanding endless list of games, which currently goes from Super Mario 64 all the way to Pro Wrestling for the Sega Master System, which is our 37th game.
Still.
Is it 37? 36th game. We're adding our 37th game to the list. Zone of the Enders, which for some reason, it's like a Berenstain Bears thing for me. I always thought it was Zone of Enders. It's Zone of the Enders.
Huh. I think Zone of Enders might be like a Japanese subtitle to, like, the Japanese version is Zone of Enders.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, ZOE, like, it's, you know.
Maybe they just got rid of the...
It's an acceptable thing to be confused about.
Yes. So we're adding this game to
what is an ender anyway?
Yes. What is an endless list? So the endless list is our list of games. As we mentioned, goes from Super Mario 64 to Pro Wrestling. We add all games to this list. It doesn't have to be the best games. It can be bad games. It could be good games, etc. We have games like Pit Fighter. We have games like Legend of Zelda. We have
two bad games.
Added Night Trap. Two bad games. We just added Night Trap to our list. But generally, how we rank these games is based upon how good they are, how important they are, how good they were at the time, how rich of a legacy they have, what their influence was on the industry, etc. So we consider all of these things and we add it to our ever-expanding list, which we hope to have thousands and thousands of games at some point. But we're only up to 37. Let's start 37.
Until we die.
Until we die. Every week until we die. So what is this game, Matt?
It's Zone of the Enders is a mech hack and slash Kojima produced product.
Produced. Not directed.
Not written by.
Yes.
Produced.
Produced game.
I think it's important to view this game through the lens of being produced by Kojima.
Yes. In some ways. Yeah. So yes, it's a Konami game, published by Konami, developed by Konami. It's released in March of 2001. And just some perspective on that. So it is one of the first PS2 games to really show off the PS2's capabilities.
When did the PS2 come out?
October of 2000. So
2000.
6 months before this game was released, there wasn't a lot of content on the PS2 at launch.
Right.
So at launch, you had Madden 2001 was a big one. Which had Eddie George, I think, on the cover.
Hmm.
Titans guy.
Final Fantasy X out?
It was not. Okay. There was not a lot of big games.
Right.
So Midnight Club came out at launch. Madden came out at launch. In July of 2001, the first like really big game came out, and that was Gran Turismo 3.
Okay.
So that game came out. Then in November of 2001, that same year, so what is that? 8 months later, mm-hmm. MGS2 came out.
Right. It's also, I mean, obviously it came out before MGS2 because there was an included demo, but
yes,
I think it's also important to know that this game came out before Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah, and speaking as from personal experience, a lot of my friends, as well as myself, bought this game originally to play Metal Gear Solid 2, The Sons of Liberty, because that game was so monumental at the time. It was really going to show off what the PS2 could do compared to like N64 and PlayStation.
Yeah.
And the demo was big. It was the entire tanker section.
Yeah.
So, which is the first.
And it was extremely detailed. It was, I mean.
It did it. You could do so much in that game compared to MGS1 and compared to other games at the time. You could hold somebody up from behind and they would piss themselves. So
I just remember the screenshot of using your SOCOM pistol or whatever in first person mode.
Yeah.
And like pointing it at someone.
Game changer.
Like, that like blew my mind.
In 2001,
I was ready for the game.
Game changer.
Yeah.
Game changer. Yeah. So where can you find this game? You can play this game on a PS2 or a PS3. It came out on the Zone of the Enders HD collection, which includes the second runner, the second game to this. And yes.
Did you play the remakes, the HD version?
No, I played the PS2 version. Yeah, which version did you play?
I played PS2 as well.
Okay. So this game was directed by a gentleman by the name of... let's see here. Noriaki Okamura is his name.
Mm. Produced by
Hideo Kojima. So he was the main programmer behind Police Knots.
Okay.
Have you heard of Police Knots?
Yeah, I have the soundtrack. It's really good.
Really? Have you played Police Knots?
No, I watched like a Let's Play or whatever.
Okay.
Actually, Super Bunny Hop has an interesting like retro review of Police Knots.
I can't stand Super Bunny Hop, but...
I love that guy.
Are you familiar with Snatcher?
Is that a person?
Snatcher is another Hideo Kojima game before Police Knots.
No, I never heard of it.
So I think Police Knots came out for like the Saturn and the PlayStation.
Okay.
In Japan, never came out here. Snatcher came out here, and it's essentially like a how do I want to describe it? I was thinking about this. It's like it's Blade Runner, where you're a detective and you're looking to solve a murder case, and it involves robots and androids. And there's like gallery shooter sections.
Oh.
It's for the Sega CD. It's one of the most expensive Sega CD games. Something like $300 to buy it.
Right.
But Snatcher came out. Then Okamura worked on Police Knots. He was the main programmer behind that. He states he wanted to create a game with the Gundam essence. And let me tell you something. This game is Gundam. This game is straight up Gundam. I don't know if... Have you ever watched any Gundam stuff?
This might be a crazy question. Is Gundam Wing the same as Gundam?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, I didn't know if it was like a, you know, some offshoot other Gundam.
It is.
So I used to watch the cartoon and I made the models and stuff like that. I was into Gundam for a little while. I played the fighting game. The fighting game is pretty sweet.
So here's where we go down the rabbit hole, Matt. We're going down the rabbit hole. Over the course of the past year and a half, I watched Gundam Wing back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to watch Mobile Suit Gundam, which is the original anime that came out in 1979.
Right.
It was one of the first like mecha animes. And I've always wanted to watch that. So I saw on Hulu, they had one of the original ones, which was called OAth MS Team. It was on Hulu. It was kind of like a side story, and I think it was only 6 episodes.
Okay.
And then I got into watching Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin, which was a recent release. And then I watched after that, which was also on Hulu at the time, Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn. And since then, I have gone and found a way to watch Mobile Suit Gundam The Original. Then I watched the follow-up series, Mobile Suit Zeta Gundam. And I've watched a lot of Gundam over the past year and a half.
So you like it?
Yes.
Okay.
I do like it.
All right.
So, Gundam Wing takes part in it's like a spin-off. It's a different timeline, they call it.
Okay.
There's a main timeline called the Universal Century, and it revolves around this conflict known as the One-Year War, and that's what Mobile Suit Gundam is. And there's a bunch of like side stories within the One-Year War, but then there's a timeline that continues on, which goes all the way to Unicorn, which happens like 30 years after the One-Year War, I think. So there's like a long, epic history of Gundam. A lot of lore. But anyways, to bring it back to Zone of the Enders.
Okay.
Let me tell you about how Mobile Suit Gundam starts.
Okay.
There's a space colony. It's out there. It's people live in space.
Right.
There's a big giant space colony.
It's the future.
There's a boy. There's a war happening, right?
Never changes.
Yes, there's war happening. There's mechs. The mechs assault the space colony. Kill everybody. A boy finds a mobile suit or a mech, hops in the mobile suit, starts fighting the people, and ends up taking down the commanders one by one, and then eventually wins the war. But
they should make a game out of that.
Yes, this is the same game as what I'm talking about, Zone of the Enders. It's this exact same plot.
When you describe it that way, it sounds much more fun.
It is. The anime is much more fun.
Yeah.
They go to Earth at one point, and they go back to the stars.
Yeah.
There's a big ship called the White Base. There's children on it.
And so, wow, so they straight up took the Gundam story.
They took the Gundam story.
Okay, all right.
They didn't change very much. The only things that they changed is the space colony in this one revolves around Jupiter.
Yeah.
And the space colonies all revolve around Earth.
It's funny that...
It's
funny that they can steal the... Let's say borrow the story from a revered anime, and the game story can still be so trash.
Yes.
And uninteresting and bland and
Well, so Mobile Suit Gundam bad. Deals a lot, and they don't really get these themes in the game, because Mobile Suit Gundam is about children and how they have to deal with war that they don't want to be involved in, and how they have to fight this war for adults because they've just been thrust into this position, mm-hmm. and how they come to terms with it, and what war does to children. That's what it's really... That's what that... anime is about.
I guess they capture that in Zone of the Enders, but
sort of
at a very shallow level.
Right. Yes, this game is just shallow all around. I mean, just from the gameplay to the story to everything about
everything.
It. The game really, the world, so you are in each zone. There's zones that you're in. And each zone really feels like an N64 or PS1 game.
Right. So I guess to back it up a bit, you go through the opening cutscene. You're on your... in the station or the space station.
Yeah.
You've now got control of a mech or a Jehudi.
Jehudi.
Jehudi is the name of the mech.
That's right.
And
it's called I'm trying to think of it. It's called a runner? No, it's called a orbital frame.
Orbital frame. So you're in Jehudi, which is an orbital frame.
Yes.
And the AI, Ada.
Yes.
Tells you, that you, what is it? That you need to,
deliver
it's ready, it's destined for a mission on Mars, right?
Right.
The
so
orbital frame.
The bad guys are known as Ba-Ram, and it's all capitalized, but it's not an acronym.
Right.
Yeah. Ba-Ram is a Mars Liberation Independence Movement.
Oh, that's cool. I wish did they describe that in the game?
No.
How did you know that?
I looked it up. Okay. So Ba-Ram is invading this space station because Jehudi's there and they want Jehudi.
Okay.
Jehudi's like an
advanced... It's a particularly good robot.
Yeah, it's an advanced orbital frame that's capable of taking them down,
stuff,
essentially.
Yeah.
So they invade the station, and then they run across this kid, takes up Jehudi. And because the AI is so advanced, she helps him, or it helps him along to defeat all these different commanders.
And so then the structure of the game is, you know, after that opening sequence... There's like an overworld type thing where you're flying to these different predefined zones. Town A, City A.
And this is what they're called, right?
Right.
They're
literally called Town A,
yeah, City A.
And then once you go to them, it's like an arena.
Right.
And then you're fighting these other mechs, much weaker mechs that are like autonomous. They're not...
They
don't have people in them.
Super easy to take down.
Right.
You just hack and slash and mash buttons to take them down.
You ever play the game Virtual On?
Yes.
So when
the game's more interesting,
it's way more interesting. So when I started playing this game, I went through the tutorial, and the tutorial was probably...
Oh my god, the tutorial is so lengthy.
It's lengthy, but it was probably the most excited I was for the game, if not for the opening sequence.
They set you up. They're like, do all these things that are really cool, but
it's
they're
like,
actually...
Oh, I can't wait for the time where I'm doing all these cool things, like dashing around, and I can move in every direction very fluidly,
right.
And I've got all these, like, I've got different kinds of shots I can do, and power-ups, and it seems very deep from the tutorial.
Yeah.
And then you go to Town A, or City A, I don't know, Town A,
yes.
I think. And then you get there and you go through, that's where you first find your like program, your first program.
Yes.
And so the programs are like upgrades to your Jehudi.
Yeah. And you get different weapons.
Right. I thought that was cool too, that it was like, you know, I thought that that would be expanded upon, that
the
like
weapons?
That you would find like different programs and you could maybe choose between different pieces of software, like Nier Automata, where like you could have a build and things like that. But unfortunately it's just basically power-ups that you're picking up.
Yeah. So you get like, I don't know, like 6 or 7 different weapons at the end of the game.
Yeah. Maybe a little more. There's like one that like heals you.
How many times did you use any of those weapons?
I used the healing one only during the like final battle.
Yes.
Or like the second to last battle. I used maybe 3 of the 8 that you get otherwise during an actual battle.
I like never use them ever.
Oh, at all?
No, I didn't use them really ever.
I found so there's one where you like shoot a beam out and they call it a sword, but it's not really a sword. It's just like a close range.
I used that
beam.
One. Yeah.
That one was good. There was one that was homing that it was just I wanted to get through the game faster, so I just would mash the homing one when I had like infinite ammo, or you know, a lot of ammo.
Right.
There's like the bouncing one that seemed atrocious.
Yes. There was one that's a scatter shot that also was really bad. That like
I don't even know that
sends
one.
Sends stuff on the ground and it shoots up a laser.
Oh right, yeah. You drop like a bunch of mines that like will shoot a laser out of them.
Yeah, they're pretty useless though.
Pretty uninspired.
Yeah.
Power ups.
Definitely uninspired.
Like there was nothing that like changed the way you move or gave you any kind of new evasive maneuver.
I will say the one of the only good things about the way you move in this game is that you can move up. It's like a 3D environment. You can move up and down, fly around,
right,
etc. But the movement of Jehudi, the orbital frame that you play as,
right,
is pretty good. The animations. That is the best part of this game.
Yeah.
Like when you go on the ground, his feet skid and make sparks.
Yep. Yeah, it's like you're skating on the
that's like
surface.
That's super cool. And just how he designed, and just the main orbital frames in the boss designs are all pretty good. They're all made by Yoji Shinkawa, who did the art for MGS. He also did the art for Zone of the Enders. He also did all of the UI elements for MGS and Zone of the Enders.
Yep.
Because you can tell they're very similar.
You can hear like the codec ping.
Yeah.
And it's funny too, even in, if not the tutorial, the next high point for the game was the title screen, which had just like, you know, it made me excited to play the game. It had very similar to like Metal Gear Solid 3, like, you know, the colorful like panning background,
right,
and like the, you know, the title, and it just looked like
very Konami 2001.
It looked like a good Konami game.
Yeah.
And maybe playing the game, you know, playing the game before Metal Gear Solid 2 came out, maybe it wasn't as big of a letdown, but
it was,
you know,
a pretty big letdown.
Doing it in 2019,
I remember
it's even
being
worse.
It being a letdown. So, Yoji Shinkawa also did the mech design. He did the design for Metal Gear.
Yeah.
He also did the design for these mechs. And there's a couple weird things about these mechs. I don't know if you noticed this.
No, I didn't, I guess.
So, the female mechs have boobs.
Yeah.
They have boobs.
Right.
And also, the cockpits of all of the the mechs are in the dick of the mech. They're literally cockpits.
That's fine.
That was actually that's an intentional joke, by the way.
Right. Yeah, it's weird. And, you know, I know that there's the conversation of, like, you know, breastplates in armor having boobs. Like,
why would a mech have tits?
I guess that's true. Why would a mech? It's not like it's protecting a female human.
No, because she's in the dick of the mech.
Right. Okay, but there's only one.
Anubis? Is that the female? No, it's
no. Anubis is like the mega mech.
Yeah, the mega mech at the end.
I forget her name. Violet.
Violet's
the character.
Viola.
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 Yeah, she. So
she was also super weird. Can I just say that she mentions at one point she doesn't have the functions of a female for some reason?
Well, and she mentions also that she's a cannibal.
She did?
Yeah, at the end she says that she, like, she feasts on children and her, like, her fallen comrades.
Okay.
And like their flesh powers her to be who she is. She says that like at the end. you know, at the beginning of the final battle, and it's like, what? And they never explain it.
We just did an episode last week on Night Trap, which has some questionable dialogue. This game has so much worse dialogue.
Very, very bad.
And I'll also say, too, that they didn't take the time to match the lips to English. It's all Japanese.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of thing I can get over. Like, I don't mind something like that where, you know, they would have to reanimate faces. But for it to just be such poor quality is not something I can get past.
Right.
Personally.
It's bad. Do you know why they're called Enders?
No.
Because they're the furthest out from Earth. So all the people who live in the colony are known as Enders.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
How did you know that?
I looked it all up, man. So Bahram invades Antillia, a colony in orbit of Jupiter, to capture these two orbital frames. Bahram, the Martian independence movement. Bahram, which is all capitalized, isn't an acronym. It's a reference to a Persian name, which means smiting of resistance or victory. It's also a symbol that's very, very, very similar to the Principality of Zeon. Do you know what the Principality of Zeon is?
Never heard of it.
Can you guess?
Is it real?
It's the bad guys in Mobile Suit Gundam.
Oh. Wow.
So, yes.
For this game to start off with them introducing a cohort of bad guys.
They don't introduce them at all.
Well, they say that they exist.
Yes.
And then you see Viola, or Viola, whatever, talking to her boss, and he's like, no, like, you listen to me, you come back, like, there's a future fight that'll happen. Like, we'll take care of them eventually. You're too weak, whatever. They set the scene for there to be a Kojima-esque cadre of sweet villains. They don't have to be deep, but they're, like, going to be interesting and weird. But they never show themselves. Like, Viola or whatever is the only one that you ever really interact with. And right. She's boring.
Yes.
I mean, she's...
That fight's pretty fucking easy compared to the other boss fights.
For this whole game, like, everything Kojima about it, or, like, Kojima-esque, like, and I include, like, the Metal Gear Solid artist, like, that kind of thing, is great. But everything outside of, like, the aesthetic of the robots, the concept of there being this, like, suite of bad guys that are coming and they're all allegedly unique or powerful or whatever, and like the whole space Gundam aspect of it, the game itself is so dull.
Yes, it is very, very dull. I actually have in my notes, this game is the very definition of the word bland.
It's so disappointing.
Yeah.
And for it to be packaged...
For how cool it looks on the cover.
Right.
It's not cool.
How cool it looks at the title screen.
Right.
Like, the title screen is the peak of the game. Like, the opening cinematic...
You get to the opening cinematic and the characters look like they're from Reboot.
Right. Well, yeah. All that, yeah, I mean... But that again, like, the quality of the animation and stuff is more forgivable to me than just it not being interesting.
Right. And I wonder... I can't figure out, and I... From interviews and from reading up on this game, it doesn't sound like Hideo Kojima was very involved in this game.
Right. It seems like people in the periphery of Kojima's other projects were involved and had
100%.
No one telling them make a fun game.
He was busy working on MGS2 during this
Which
game.
Is fair. I mean, this is
one of the biggest games at the time.
Right.
One of the best games for PlayStation 2.
But it's just wild that they... I mean, and I get why they bundled it with Metal Gear Solid 2 demo.
To sell copies.
To sell copies. But it seems like they knew what they had to do to sell copies of this game.
Right.
That, like... But when you even just compare them for both being in the same product and having such vastly different levels of quality, it's insane to me.
Right.
That this game exists and has sequels.
It's insane that this game has sequels. I don't know about existing because was a time...
There are plenty of bad games.
Yeah, but this was also a time when PlayStation 2 just needed games. And this was one of the first, like, interesting games that came out on PlayStation 2. Because there was not, like, we think of now, looking back on it, the PS2 has a library of something like 2,500 games. Mm-hmm. But at the time, there was only, like, a handful of games out on the system.
Yep.
So it's it was an interesting time.
It's just, I've never had such a nosedive of enthusiasm
playing a game. And you selected this game. Why did you select this game?
I selected this game because I knew it existed, had never played it, and knew that Kojima was involved, and from the screenshots I had seen, it reminded me of Virtua On.
Sounds like the pitch that went to this game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, the main thing was, like, back in the day, like, early... So, the main thing for me, looking back on it, when this game first came out, Hideo Kojima's involved. It's a Konami game, which was... They were good at the time. Early PlayStation 2 games, there wasn't a lot at the time, came with Metal Gear Solid 2 demo. Those were, like, the selling points.
Right.
But yeah, this game did not turn out that well.
And we mentioned it earlier, but, like, the fact that, you know, so in the initial story, they pitch, like, yeah, this thing, or you get a message from, like, some other good guys, right?
Right.
I forget what their name is.
Yeah, it's like Earth.
And they're like, yeah, we need government. Like, we need to get this mech to Mars because it has a very important mission it has to do.
Right.
And at that point, it's early enough that I'm like, oh, that's sick. Like,
you're going to go to Mars.
We're on Jupiter now. Yeah. Like, maybe we go to each planet on the way. And so I'm like, all right, fine. Like, I'll get through Town A and it'll be great eventually.
It's hilarious to me that they named it Town A.
And then you go to City A.
Remember you said, talk about it.
And then you go to, like, Factory A or whatever.
And then you go back to those places.
Yeah, and, like, it just becomes Town A, B, C, City A, B, C.
Yeah, I think there's only, like, there's less than 10 places that you go to.
And they couldn't name? Like, not, and so that's bad enough. But then at certain points,
they have no personality either.
And you have to, yeah, right. They all have, like, I mean, they are different, but they have templates. Like, they're very, right. Like, all the towns look the same.
Yeah.
And then you have to,
but they also,
at multiple times.
But there's nothing, like, there's no, like, landmarks. Aside
right.
from the main part with the big energy
the
place.
The energy thing, right.
Yeah. There's
the
no,
Eiffel,
like,
Tower looking thing.
Yeah. There, even, like, the warehouse things where you have to go into the cave.
Right.
There's two, and they're the same.
They look, yeah, exactly.
Identical.
Right, yeah.
So there's just templates. They copied and pasted it, and they fucked around
and
with
the
some
fact
things.
That you have to backtrack at various points
yeah.
to earlier ones.
It's
and
annoying.
As maybe I missed it, but there was very little indication of where you actually had to go. I know that at one point you have to find a downed mech that
I
you can, like, take
you,
over.
Did you look up a walkthrough at any point? Because I didn't have to look up a walkthrough.
So I knew from, like, they show you a cutscene of the downed mech when
right.
you're in that level. So I knew that I had to go back to that. But for, there were other times I feel like that you had to backtrack to find certain item, like, programs
right.
slash weapons that could.
But there's only, like, three places you could possibly look.
But the fact that I had to go back to those places at all just.
They wanted a pad.
Did not.
Map.
It was very artificially padded.
Let me just tell you, this game you can get done in, like, 5 or 6 hours.
I played it in a day.
You could get it done in 5 or 6 hours, and they were padding this.
And it was too long. Like, for, like,
it's so good.
If it was better, I would
this
have
wanted it to be. This game was a $50
game.
Too.
Oh my god.
Oh, terrible.
I don't like this game.
It's so bland. I'm indifferent to it.
I never want to play this game again. I think it's so bad.
So they made a second one, and supposedly it's way better because they remade it for PlayStation 4. Even the second runner.
Do you know why it's better?
No.
Okay.
I have no idea about anything to do with it. But they also made a GBA spinoff called Zone of the Enders: The Fist of Mars, which is a tactical RPG.
That sounds more fun.
Oh yeah, it looks way more interesting than this. So yeah, that game exists. But let's.
Are we going to rank it?
We're going to rank it.
All right.
So this is our third OG PS2 game behind God of War and Shadow of the Colossus, which this game will not touch in the rankings. Second Konami game, Contra Hardcore is the other one. Sixth game from the 2000s. And yeah, so we're adding it to our list. This is a very early PS2 game. I think it was originally, even though it doesn't really, I think it was designed to show off the capabilities of the system.
I think it looks good still.
I don't think it looks good. I think the main character looks good. I think the rest of it looks... the model of the... I think if Jehudi. You took out Town A or Town B and you put them in a N64 or a PS1 game, they would look exactly the same.
I guess what I mean is I like the aesthetic of the characters or the units.
Yeah.
You know, the different mechs and shit like that.
It's Metal Gear.
Right.
It's straight up Metal
Gear. And I like the way, like you said, that they look when they move. I think... Like, they move pretty fluidly.
Right. They have interesting animations that we're not capable of doing in a PS1 or a GameCube or an N64. So right. That made it different.
I guess what I mean is it aged better than I expected it to for being such an early PS2 game.
Right.
That seems like it was... Maybe it wasn't literally a, you know, budget production, but it was not Metal Gear
right.
2 level.
This game's extremely short, as you mentioned, 5 to 6 hours.
Why is it rated mature?
I don't know.
I didn't see any. There was the only blood you see is when the giant thing falls on your friends.
Maybe. That's for the reason.
But blood, like...
It will say it on the box, I think.
Yeah, but it just nothing over the course of the game seemed mature.
Mature themes, maybe?
Maybe.
So we talk sometimes when we're ranking things about completeness of vision. And so on the one end, you have a game like MGS2, which is like a complete vision. This is a game.
Yeah.
It's going to take you a long time, and it has a very fleshed out vision of what it is. And then on the far other end, you have Zone of the Enders.
Yeah. That's a good point. I wonder how committed they were to including the Metal Gear demo, and if that... gave like a sense of urgency to push it out. I mean, I have nothing to base that off of, but
it doesn't. I don't know what they're missing in this game. You know what I mean? What they could have added to make this game better.
I think more. If I made this game better, I would have added a larger variety of places you go to. I would have given them character and names.
Yes.
Beyond Town A.
But that doesn't sound like something that was in the scope ever of this game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know what. I'm just, you know, what I would have done,
right.
My idealized version of Zone of the Enders would have had that. It would have showed you, would have had boss battles with different characters from Ba-Ram, like in Metal Gear, where you fight Foxhound.
And have them personalized, where maybe you can like, you can create a connection with them because you see the other people.
Yes.
As opposed to just seeing the robots.
Right, exactly.
It's tough.
I mean... I think if you know, they had a framework in place from a technical perspective, if they had another, you know, X amount of time to just develop character for the game,
right.
I think it could have been significantly improved.
So where does this go on our list?
I think I'm probably ranking it lower than you would be in your mind. I mean, where do you want to start? Do you want to start in the middle or from the bottom up?
Tell me where you want to start, because I have no idea.
I mean, for me,
okay. So for me, when I look at this list, I look at it and I say to myself, like by far, I would rather play, and I think that it's a way better game, Crazy Taxi, than this game.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's a cutoff point. I know you did not like Crazy Taxi.
I didn't like Crazy Taxi, but I like Crazy Taxi more than this game.
I like Hexen Beyond Heretic way better. I think it's a more deeper game, and I think it's a more complete vision. I think it has more interesting gameplay mechanics, and the combat's way more in-depth.
I mean, I'm high on Hexen. I probably overrate Hexen, but yeah.
Yeah, I also probably overrate. I think we both do, but we both really like that game. I enjoy Tapper way better for what it is.
Me as well.
I think it's an interesting game. I think that the arcade cabinet was interesting with the tap. I think it has a good balance of challenge versus you can get through a couple levels, but then the challenge ramps up quite considerably. Mm-hmm. I like that game better. Super Hang On.
So we're at 28. 28 is Super Hang On.
Yeah.
For reference.
I would probably rather play Zone of Enders than than Super Hang-On.
I don't know. Super Hang-On...
I would also, even beyond that, I would rather play Zone of the Enders than Pokemon Snap, personally.
Oh, man. So I think this is where we differ. I would put... I think Zone of the Enders, for me, would make it another couple spots down, personally. I mean, if you start at Super Hang-On, I think Super Hang-On, you know, it was made a decade plus earlier, but it's got a complete vision in the sense that it has an actual, you know, like, career mode, you know,
yeah,
like
I mean,
a mechanic
now that
side
I'm thinking
to
about
it,
this and,
like,
yeah.
it falls short purely on a, you know,
I just
technical,
like,
comparison.
What I think about it too is this, what I don't like about Zone of the Enders in particular is there's like a challenge in maybe one or two boss battles, but the rest of the game is so fucking easy that you can just cruise by mashing buttons.
Right.
So yeah, I'd probably put Super Hang-On above.
I think
Zone of the Enders, I mean, and I'd also put Pokemon Snap above Zone of the Enders.
I personally would keep going. I mean, Night Trap
is way more interesting.
Is more interesting.
Better legacy.
That's at 30.
I would also put Pro Wrestling above because it's just super fun.
And that's, you know, like in a versus scenario, we didn't mention it, but this game does have Zone of the Enders does have a versus mode.
Right.
That you unlock, I think.
Yeah, after
when
you beat,
beat
the game.
Which is an odd choice. And I never played it. You know, maybe it's great. You know, like, versus mode versus of pro wrestling. You know, I guess all I'm saying is I think I'd rather play pro wrestling. I think...
pro wrestling has a legacy. It's got... It went on to be many different iterations. It went on to inspire Fire Pro Wrestling. There's a lot. There's a deeper, richer history behind pro wrestling than there is behind Zone of the Enders.
Right.
Zone of the Enders is a dead end.
Yeah, it's a
development. So
it's a good way to describe it.
Like
I don't want anything else to do with Zone of the Enders.
Right.
One.
Yeah.
Maybe one day I'll play two, but like.
I kind of want to put it at 32. To be honest with you.
So 32 would be below pro wrestling at 31 and
above.
Better than Paperboy.
Yeah. I would rather play this game than Contra Hardcore. And I think that the story intrigues me more. Yeah. And the story intrigues me more than playing Paperboy.
Yeah. But so I don't disagree with you, but I think the big thing for me is how much of a disappointment it is. It seems teed up for success when you look at, like, the mech design and, you know, some of the soundtrack and the way it looks in the first couple minutes. And, like,
right.
It just falls so flat that it, where Paperboy, like, nails being Paperboy.
I put it below Paperboy. Because, yeah, that Paperboy is a fun game to
Paperboy,
play.
Paperboy, like, nailed the paper delivery idea. And, like, it was made significantly earlier, so it's a simpler game.
Right.
But
it's,
in comparison...
It's, I would rather play Paperboy.
I would rather play Paperboy any day.
Although, I probably would not rather play Contra Hardcore.
Just, yeah.
Contra
Hardcore is just...
It suffers because of its difficulty.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the main...
It's a good-looking game.
I think that's ultimately, like...
It has
the
a
nail
story.
In the coffin for
it's,
Contra Hardcore.
It's just, the problem with Contra Hardcore is it's not interesting because they did it like 8 times before this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super fucking hard.
Yeah.
And it's,
for the sake of being hard.
It's hard for this, it's called hardcore.
Contra games are already hard.
Yes, they're hard.
Right.
And there's no Contra code in that game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So it's even harder. So right. You can't do it, you can't use it. I would put this above Contra Hardcore.
Yeah, because I don't want to play Contra Hardcore either.
Yeah.
And I think Contra Hardcore, you know, is a blemish on the Contra, you know, what you think of when you think of Contra. Like,
right.
You know, it. And this, to me, is a slightly smaller blemish on when I think of this, you know, age of Konami games and what they were capable of. And
we're putting the Konami games back to back, I think.
Oh yeah, I didn't even consider that. Yeah,
so let's do that. Let's put it at 33.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
All right, so we have a new number 33, Zone of the Enders, and our third PS2 game on our list. And we're gonna move down. Contra Hardcore, number 34. 37 games on our list, Matt. We added two more over the course of the past 2 weeks.
Wow. I bet we'll add two more over the next 2 weeks.
Hopefully. That's the...
So, as long as we're alive.
Yeah.
That's the promise we made.
Keep kicking. Cool. Well, congratulations, Zone of the Ender. You are now the 33rd best game of all time.
Shaking my head.
And we'll be back next week. Just want to thank Dos Chiquini Jr. for the music. Actually, one thing I did want to mention. In my research of this game, I found a review from 2001 with a young Patrick Klepek, who's currently at Vice Game / Waypoint and was at Giant Bomb. In his review, he uses the word fat. And I thought that was hilarious.
Like, so, this game, I wish this game was as fat as...
Oh, no, no, no. All the reviews, contemporary reviews of the time, loved this game.
That's wild to me.
IGN's their title of the review was more than just an MGS2 demo, and said, unlike a few other PS2 efforts thus far, this is a pretty long game to boot. Oh. Pretty long game. It's 5 fucking hours, it's, IGN.
It's both too long and not long enough at the same time.
No, it's not long enough.
But you would want to play more of it?
No.
Clearly not.
I want them to put more effort into this game.
Yeah.
God damn it. But yeah, you can follow us on the Twitter. It's at itssobadpod. itssobadpod@gmail.com for any questions, comments, or concerns. But we'll be back next week with another episode. This has been It's So Bad. Thanks, Matt.